Welcome back to the Summer of Miles podcast, episode 6. Today we are having an interview with Stephanie Brown as she returns to the Sir Walter Miler in 1 week. We're getting excited for it. Sandy, what you thinking?
Man, just hard to believe we're 1 week out. A lot of momentum currently around this denim mile. I think I even saw today that someone out of Nashville just went 4:16, which I heard bettered a 4:19, which had bettered a 4:32. So this thing is dropping precipitously as we gather about a week out here.
And if you hadn't had a chance yet, go over to SirWalterMiler.com. Check out the info page on the Sidious Mag Presents, the Raleigh Denim Mile. We have an awesome video from Stu Jones. Tell us about that, Sandy.
Yeah, Stuart Jones, the guy who joined our core team this year. If you're in Raleigh, if you go to Brew Coffee Shop, you have definitely seen him posted up on the last seat at the bar. But Stuart Jones, a good friend of Sir Walter Miler, even from the first year with the Sandman Mile, has joined our team and does great photography and phenomenal videography, and we saw that with the denim video that he put together that we have released on all of our social media sites and certainly on the Summer of Miles Twitter and Instagram, and of course Sir Walter Miler. He did an awesome job. We thank you for those, my wife included, who are willing to put on some jeans and hop on the track. And then of course we got a look inside Raleigh Denim, which is the brand that's behind all this. Of course, did an interview with Victor a few days ago. So just something else to whet your appetite about what we're going to see with that denim mile on August 4th. Now, Pat, here's my question: do you think that we can top the current? Well, ratified, you know, as soon as it's ratified, but the 4:16 right now, if that's ratified, do you think that we can get the world record next Friday night?
I think so. There's certainly people in the field. I think the guys' time is going to be close, but we have somebody that's certainly capable of it. On the women's side, I think we're going to blow it out of the water. I think the record's like 5:30-ish, but certainly something I think that's going down. So stay tuned. We'll see if that record changes between now and then, but we've got some people going after it. Of course, if you want to compete in that, go ahead and get on the site, sign up. If you're trying to get a freebie, go do the Strava Challenge. There's info on that on the site as well. If you can run the Lake Johnson Loop faster than anybody by the end of the day on July 31st, which is Monday, we'll go ahead and hold a spot for you in that.
There you have it right there. So, folks, we got a few more spots open for that. So, I want to get you on that line. And if everyone else, come out, because, listen, we're going to have a world record in Raleigh next Friday night. I'm going to go ahead and put that out there. So, looking forward to having you guys out there. So, Pat, who we got on tap again today?
We have Stephanie Brown, who ran Sir Walter last year, ran under 4:30 for the first time, ran a 4:29.06. She is from Illinois, ran for Arkansas in college. We kind of dig into some stories there and then talk about her pro career a little bit. I know she's racing today in Pittsburgh at the Liberty Mile, and then she'll be driving down the Eastern Seaboard to join us in Raleigh next week. So we're excited to talk about that. You know, a little cross promotion here. I went on the Sidious Mag podcast with Chris Chavez and talked about the history of the Sir Walter Miler, about this year, of course, about the Gene Mile and what's going on. So if you haven't checked out the Sidious Mag podcast yet, go ahead and download that too. I know he's interviewing Kara Goucher today as his guest. So, you know, I might not match up to that, but it's certainly something to listen to.
There's some great quality content coming through in the podcast world, especially from the running, in the running arena. And I think that Sidious Mag is definitely on the forefront, Pat, wouldn't you say, in terms of just great podcasts that are out?
Definitely, yeah. Chris is doing a great job. He interviewed Dathan Ritzenhine last week. He's had a lot of incredible guests. He, you know, works for Sports Illustrated his day job, so he has incredible access. So he's really digging into what these athletes are thinking and getting some info out there that you might not read in a print article. So check it out. And, you know, Chris is going to be in Raleigh next week for the Sir Walter Miler as well. He might even be running the Jeans Mile. But if you see him around, make sure and say hi. He's been to the Sir Walter before, and let's keep him coming back, because anything we can do to impress Mr. Chavez.
It's amazing when you have Sports Illustrated attached to your name, kind of the doors that would open. Of course, he's a great rider, and he has done so much for the sport of track and field and just distance running altogether. One, with his knowledge, and two, just with his access in writing at Sports Illustrated. Of course, a couple years ago, that's what put Sir Walter on, well, helped kind of throw us into the national spotlight when we were able to cap off our first Sir Walter right, as our first annual with a Sports Illustrated online article the night of the race, right?
No doubt. It was a great article. Go back there into the archives. You click on the press section on SirWalterMiller.com. You can check that out. And speaking of websites and whatnot, make sure you're reaching out to Sandy and I, SummerMiles.com, SummerMiles on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're going to do a few more interviews, so if there are people that you want us to interview between now and race day, let us know.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to, I got a special guest coming on, a former teammate of mine who will be running the Sir Walter Mile this year, and excited to have him on next, probably our next podcast. So just stay tuned, but I'm excited to hear from Stephanie Brown.
All right, let's check it out. All right, guys, welcome back to the Summer of Miles podcast. Today, we are excited to have a competitor from the 2016 Sir Walter Miler, and she will be competing again next Friday in the Sir Walter Miler again. Ladies and gentlemen, Stephanie Brown. Welcome, Stephanie.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Where are we talking to you from today?
I'm actually in Pittsburgh. I got in pretty late last night, flying in from Montana to do the GNC Liberty Mile. So I'm just hanging out in Pittsburgh today.
All right, cool. Well, what's your schedule between now and then? Are you going to stay on the East Coast, or are you going back to Montana before next week?
Yeah, I'm staying over. So I'm actually going to stay in Pittsburgh with some family friends for a few days and then come over to Sir Walter on the 2nd. And then I'm going to stay in North Carolina for a few days after the race with one of my friends from home. He actually ran at Duke and was like a 4-flat miler too. So, we're going to hang out there and then head up to Westchester. So I'm making a mini East Coast circuit.
Good. We're excited to hear that. You know, that's one thing that we have heard from talking to some other athletes is, you know, this is our 4th year at Sir Walter and kind of 5 years if you count the Sandman Mile. Back then, there weren't quite as many options. There was the Falmouth Mile, and that was just about it. There wasn't many competitive miles. Now there's enough where you guys can make a little circuit out of it. So it is really fun to see the growth of it.
Yeah, it's super cool. I mean, it's funny because it's a little East Coast circuit, but it kind of feels like, you know, you're going overseas or doing the whole thing. So it's cool to still be local and have those opportunities to race against the best in the U.S. and even some international folks, so it's pretty cool.
Sure. You know, that's one thing when we first created this race, the goal was to give some local people some opportunities, and every year, you know, we'd get some people from a few states away. For us, we'd get some people, say for instance, from New Jersey and New York Track Club, mm-hmm. and then this year, you know, we've got people coming from Portland. We've got Nate Brannon, who's a Canadian but lives in the U.S. But we've certainly had interest from outside the U.S. So it's really fun that these things are starting to take off all up and down the East Coast, because there's always been some level of it on the West Coast. And of course, with the Tracktown Summer Series, there's more of this happening. But we're glad that there's enough interest between the fans and you know, competitive runners like yourself to do this. So, to kind of get into some background with you, Stephanie, I guess, because you just said you're currently in Bozeman, from reading your bio, part of the reason we wanted to have you on is your bio has been very popular on our site. You have a wide range of interests that we'll kind of get into, but let's start kind of from the beginning. You are from Normal, Illinois. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I was born in Normal, Illinois. So it's actually where Illinois State University is. But okay. It's just so funny when people see it, when they write it down. It's Normal, Illinois. Everyone thinks it's a joke. It's just like, yeah, it's pretty normal there, actually. Yeah,
good Midwest.
Normal. Yeah, and then So the town I was raised up in was kind of a suburb of a, you know, a smaller town, Normal, Bloomington Normal, college town area. But it was its name is Downs, Illinois. And my graduating class was 77, and we all knew each other since kindergarten and grew up in the school system together. So kind of got the small town vibe going and just some interesting town names in the area. So
sure. Well,
yeah.
Being from a town that small, and of course you went to Arkansas for mm-hmm. for college, which is a huge running school. How did that happen? Did you have a lot of success in high school and that was kind of your best bet from being close to that area?
Yeah. So, well, I kind of just picked up running because my brother was doing it and my dad asked me if I wanted to go run a 5K, and I did one when I was really young, and I kind of excelled at that age. And then I played soccer, so I was naturally, you know, doing the running training without even thinking about it. Sure. And then when it came to middle school, so Illinois is one of the few states that has like middle school sanctioned state meet, state records, class systems, everything. Wow. So middle school is the real deal. And so I did really well in middle school. I actually ran some times that I don't even know how I ran in middle school, but I think my 800 and eighth grade state was 2:16.
Wow.
So yeah, I won state and broke like a 20-year-old record. So Illinois has been doing the middle school thing for a while. And then I just kind of got lucky that I kept progressing as an athlete, you know, because a lot of the younger kids maybe burn out or training too hard young. I just kept getting a little bit better every year and started training pretty hard my sophomore year of high school, and then was getting looked at because I was running good times by my junior year. And I had a lot of interest from different schools and everything, but I had a few people that I trusted tell me that Arkansas and Lance would be a really great fit for me. And so seeing success, because Kristen Worth Thomas was training under him and at the time, with all of that combined, it worked out really well. And I love the team and the atmosphere there. So it was a pretty easy decision and kind of just landed in my lap, I guess.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Well, before we kind of get into Arkansas, that's one thing I'd kind of heard a secondhand story I wanted to ask you about. Is Kristen Worth Thomas. I've always heard that she just worked out harder than anybody. And of course, she had some crazy races where, you know, she took mm-hmm. it out super hard, and sometimes she got kicked down, sometimes she didn't. But she was always really fun to watch because she liked to lay it on the line. So mm-hmm. can you provide any context for that? What are these stories true that she used to just like go all out in practice and just do crazy workouts?
Yes. And it's insane. I've heard people, I've actually gotten a few arguments about who trains the hardest. And I always will tell people Kristen Worth trained harder than any of you. And when I got to school, so I was from the same hometown area. Our houses were 5 miles apart. She was from Bloomington. And so it was 5 miles at cornfields, but it was 5 miles apart. And so when I got to school, she actually kind of just took me under her wing. I was her successor. She called me Mini Me. I was like the only person that worked out with her on the team because she's so intense. But so I kind of just like followed along with what Kristen was doing. And I got to tell you, she would slam everything. And it's incredible. Even just like starting a mile down, she would start at like a 4:30 low.
Goodness
and then
gracious.
Pick it up like every time. So she had the confidence that she could go out and just lay it on the line, because she would do these things by herself or with me hanging on for like a lap and then dying. So yeah, she was super intense. And I actually think it was really good for me to see at the time as a younger athlete. And I was pretty talented, but just that in my head, you had to work harder than anything to be a professional. So that's kind of what my mentality was going through college and even post college. I mean, she still gives me advice and we talk a lot. So she was just an incredible runner, athlete, trainer, hard worker, everything.
That's cool. Because coming from a town that small to go to a big school like Arkansas had to be a little intimidating, especially with such a storied track program. So to have somebody from so close by excelling had to have given you a little sense of ease as you kind of jumped into that collegiate level of competition.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And just even just some meets where maybe I broke Kristen's record, you know, just seeing that I did that and then going to Arkansas and then having her take me under her wing, it just, I always felt like I belonged in that higher level. And she really helped guide me through that, getting to that level. And it actually was a pretty quick transition into college. And I think a lot of that was due to her help.
Sure. Kind of picking back up, I guess we were talking about, you know, your collegiate career, you know, had a lot of success there, some SEC championships, you're runner up in the mile 1 year and a lot of All-Americans and all that. How would you kind of sum up your career there at Arkansas? What were some kind of highlights for you?
Oh, highlights. I had a very up and down career, but I think that overall it's like just such a growing process. I guess that would be my main words, but my highlights would definitely be winning the DMR National Championship my senior year in indoors, and then also probably, which is kind of silly, but the regionals my sophomore year of college in the 800. I ran like a breakout race and ran a 202 and won regionals at Oregon, and I think I still hold the record. Just waiting for Raven Rogers to take it down, but
she's pretty good.
Obviously she can run it. It's just, are they gonna run it? You know,
so no need to. No need to.
It's kind of fun. Yeah, right. So that was like such a great moment for me, and then just all the other times, like being with the team, winning cross SECs was really fun my senior year, and kind of just seeing the team build. Even some of the best moments are watching the team now, and it, directly after I graduated, they won the indoor national title, and just being able to be there and see that and feel still sense of I'm a part of that, and that we built this team up and now they're doing these amazing things is really, really awesome.
Sure. So. Sure. Well, you know, you seem to be pretty connected to the team still. Is coaching or anything like that something that you've thought about in the future?
Yeah, so most of the talk about me coaching or that type of thing comes from other people being like, you should be a coach someday. And yeah, I've thought about it. I just still don't know if that's where my path will take me or not. But I do help coach the Montana State team right now. I'm volunteer assistant coach there. And so it's still something I've been doing a lot of. Maybe it's more mentoring, I would say, than coaching.
Sure. Well, you're still very much in the kind of best part of your career, so no reason to jump towards that. Coaching is always there, but you seem to have at least the connection with the athletes, which is for a lot of people the hardest part. So
yeah, totally.
Well, you know, you just spoke to being in Montana now, but let's talk about that for a little bit. How did you end up in Montana from you know, Illinois to Arkansas to now training there?
Yeah, so it was kind of a crazy story. Last year was a whirlwind. Arkansas was great and I was loving it there, but I saw the opportunity to go train in California and be at altitude and try that whole thing and maybe just step into a different professional world. And so I jumped on that just because, you know, sometimes you need a change and also just the opportunity at the time. And so California didn't really work out. It was just not the place for me. And so I just kind of rolled with the punches from there. And I was dating Christian. I think most people know that I'm dating Christian Cerrados. And
sure,
then
sure.
His...
Also an excellent miler.
Yeah, he's pretty good. So his coach took me on and was like, yeah, I'll coach you. And we had another guy named AJ Police help coach while we were in California. And last year, not a lot of people, I guess, knew, but Lyle, the Montana State coach, who he was actually a great miler and more of a steeplechaser in his day, ran at 3 Olympic trials in the steeplechase. So he started coaching me, and he was coaching me from May through the trials. And I was gaining strengths that maybe weren't even visible to the outside eye, and I just thought that he was doing a great job, and he really cared about me just running well, running my best, and it wasn't for him or anything. And so I decided that me and Christian, we decided together that maybe it was best that we go to Montana to actually be with Lyle. So it was kind of a tough decision, because after California, there was a lot of groups and different people, and we had just a lot of opportunities coming in left and right of where we should go train or if we should go to a group. And it was just really hard to say no to all of our friends in the groups and these different other great coaches, and to kind of take a leap of faith to going to Montana and trusting Lyle. So that's kind of how it all happened.
Sure, sure. Well, and speaking of last year, we were excited to have you, and you came in broke 4:30 for the first time at the Sir Walter Miler. So we're pumped that you ran a 4:29.06 in our meet. Yeah. We're glad to have you back. So can you talk a little bit about maybe your experience in Raleigh for Sir Walter last year?
Yeah, so it was kind of drizzly night, but it was a really still night, so it was really cool. Like, we knew that the weather was going to be good because everything had calmed down, and we had a good pacer. I think everyone was really confident in Steph last year, Stephanie Herrick. Yep. She did a great job pacing. And I just remember actually going out in that race, and the first lap was pretty fast because we were running fast. And I was just like, I'm going to die. I felt so bad for the first 1,000 of that race. And then I kind of realized, like, oh, I'm fine. It's not a big deal. I'm good. Because I was in the front of the race. And then I didn't realize maybe at the time, but because it was so loud and there's so much energy and it's really exciting. But I had broken away with... at one point, it was just 3 of us left with 200 to go. Sure. So I was running super fast. And I think I kind of got nervous and lost focus a little bit there, because I ran sub 4:30, but I'm not sure what that last 200 was, but it wasn't very good. So it was really cool afterwards to rewatch the race and realize that there was still more there. But I also was... when I finished the race, I didn't have a clue we had broken away, or like maybe I was closer to 4:25 at 200 to go than 4:30. But you know, it was just like awesome, because you guys, I don't think there was anywhere else where if I would have broken 4:30 for the first time that I would have gotten the praise and the support and just all the fans being really excited about it. Since that's kind of the mission, I think it was sweet that was the first place that I did it. So I was really happy that Sir Walter was the place to break 4:30 for me.
Yeah, it was fun for us. That's certainly something that from year one, when we started talking about this race, I think if you look at it on paper, the 4:30 barrier for females is harder to break than 4 minutes for, mm-hmm. for males. But, you know, saying, you know, we really hope the women break 4:33.2 or something just didn't really sound good. So we kind of just amped it up and said 4:30 is easy for the public to understand. And, you know, luckily we've had a bunch of people do it, you being one of them, especially a first timer, which was awesome for us. But I know it's probably a little tricky for you guys. Like you mentioned last year, it's Sir Walter, every year it rains before the race. We don't yeah. know what is going on, but it always
it's
cools
good luck.
Off. It really is. I mean, we kind of hope it does this year. But one of the casualties last year was our timers board got fried. So you guys were kind of having to rely on people calling out splits. So, Yeah, we're hoping that does not happen this year. It's okay if it rains, but hopefully all those things will not go wrong. But maybe it was good that you guys didn't 100% know where you were and you're just running fast.
maybe it's good luck to not even know the splits, you know? And I don't even know that I remember a split, to be honest.
Some of my best races were like that. So maybe that's the case. We'll just hide it and the pacer will know and you guys just fall in line and just rip it.
Yeah, there you go. Plus it's so loud. It's like I was more just trying to, you know, deal with the energy and just like soak in the crowd than try to know a split, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's what we're going for every year. And it's, you know, every year, those are the nightmares that I have that people just get a little too close. So what was that like? I know there's a lot of races that are starting to put people on the outside, but we put them on the inside too. So it's just crazy.
It was super cool. There was a little depth perception thing with the girls in the front. So I know it was a few of us up front that the phones, they were trying to get, all these people were getting these sweet shots of us, which were really cool to look at after the race, but they would have them down low we'd be looking at them thinking, oh man, are we going to hit a phone?
Those are the people I'm yelling
at. You're getting pretty close.
After you pass, I'm getting in their face. And, you
I think
know.
Someone kicked a phone. I think God. Someone in our race. So if you interview, you should try to figure out who it was that kicked the phone. Because I remember us talking about it afterwards and someone goes, I kicked the phone. I'm just like, oh goodness. But I mean, we all like chatted about it. We were joking about it after the race. It's like, yeah, maybe there was that element, but at the same time, would you rather there be no fans in the crowd or no one getting super excited? It felt like a real sporting event, if that makes sense.
That's what we're going for. You know, we certainly don't want to put anybody in harm's way or have anybody impede you guys, but people get so excited and so rowdy for this. Mm-hmm. We try to control it the best we can without, like, you know, hurting anybody's feelings, but at the same time making sure you guys are safe. And they've all been kind of behind the fence for the first few races. Then we let them out for y'all's race. Uh-huh. And especially last year for the women's race, people were out ready to go, ready to roll. And they were just into it. And we were just kind of looking around like, we don't have that many friends that are like bouncer type. So it's hard to police
all the runner types. Yeah,
we got a lot of skinny dudes in tight jeans and whatnot. But
maybe we should start a throw competition right before and then have them
that's
bounce
probably a good idea
right after. Yeah.
The trade-off, guys, is that you're going to have a lot of people watching you. Probably not as much as you're used to, but afterwards you'll be bouncing. So, you know, we'll give you a couple beer tickets. And
totally.
Yeah, I
mean, a rowdy crowd at a track meet is what we all hope for. So I think everyone's like super excited about that. And that's why everyone wants to come back, because these races are the ones you remember. You just remember that feeling. So, yeah.
Sure. Well, you know, we're excited for next week, of course, but let's talk about a few other things. I know from your bio, tell us more about Chef Perps.
Okay. Yeah. So Chef Perps has been around for a while. You know, she just does. I didn't post for so long. But I guess I really took up cooking when I graduated. Not that I didn't cook in college, but I just really had a lot more time as soon as I graduated school. And it became something that wasn't just maybe, I wasn't just doing it to feed myself. I was doing it to be creative and come up with these different combinations. And I just love food, so I wanted to just explore flavors. And eventually I kept taking pictures of my food. I'm like, I need to start taking pictures of my food. And so I was posting them on my story, and Christian kept telling me, like, you need to make an Instagram for this. And I'm like, no one wants an Instagram for my food. He's like, people want it. And I just kind of brushed him off, like, you know how you do. And so, but eventually people kept messaging me on Instagram about the recipes, and then people were also saying, like, you should make a food page, or saying they liked my food post on my story. And so I was just like, all right, I'm just going to do it. Since I have a camera and I like to take pictures, I'll take the time to take the picture and upload the photo and write the recipe, because otherwise, I'm just writing it separately to different people on my Instagram message. So it's kind of just become this thing. And it's been pretty cool because I've had a few people message me about like making the recipes and different runners. And I know I don't have a great big following, but it's cool that people are interested in the different foods and just giving them a shot. So it's kind of revolved around brunch too. So seems like everything I post is breakfast foods.
Well, we like brunch in North Carolina, so that should go over well here.
If you're into it, you should check it out. It's at Chef Perps. So it's cool. I'm kind of off the grid right now, so maybe I'll have like probably one post while I'm out here, but because I have some pictures saved up and recipes, so maybe one post, but
Well, can always go back and look at the old ones as well for people that are new to the world of Stephanie Purple Brown.
Post long run brunch, you need to go to my page and get some ideas. So that's what I think.
I think every runner can relate to that. So
just all the noms.
All the noms. And you know, with Shalane and Elise's book doing so well this year, I know that they're putting out a second book. So there's obviously a market for runner friendly cooking. So I think you're on to something.
Yeah, I'm maybe a little off of their pace. I think my food is fairly indulgent. I try to make healthy decisions within delicious food. So
that's
like switching out turkey sausage with regular sausage, because turkey sausage is awesome. But I would never switch out turkey bacon. You know why? Because turkey bacon is not very good.
It's bad. So, it's like salted cardboard.
It's so not good. So I try to do some of those decisions. So you can check that out and see some ideas of how to switch out some healthy options. But it's a fairly indulgent still, too.
Well, that's not your only hobby. Tell us a little bit about Snapshot Steph.
Yeah, Snapshot Steph has been on the sidelines, man. But I enjoy taking pictures and photography. And when I was in Arkansas, everyone just kept getting married, and then it was just more friends telling them that I would take their engagement pictures. So with me having all the extra time and just people trying to save money, I ended up taking a fair amount of engagement photos and senior pictures while I was in Arkansas. And so I had that connection, and I got to get back on it in Montana because the scenery is beautiful, and I could probably take some even better pictures now. But yeah, that's just a little fun thing I like to do. And I really enjoy making moments as beautiful as they are in person in a photo. So I try my very hardest to create that. So if you need any pictures and you're around me, let me know.
Well, luckily we do have photographers for when you guys are in town, but anything you want to take, we know you have a good Snapchat too. So follow Stephanie on Snapchat. All this stuff is on her bio. If you haven't checked it out yet, go over to SirWalterMiler.com and check it out. A lot of fun, interesting tidbits there. But before we let you go, we talked a little bit about Sir Walter, and you're in Pittsburgh for the Liberty Mile. What else are you running this summer? What else are you excited about in this summer of miles 2017?
Right? Yeah. I'm going to run Westchester right after that.
Cool.
So I'm staying over. And then I'm probably just going to run Kyle's listening, Kyle's Mile on the 6th of September, and then call it a season. I'm having a late start and had a pretty long injury in my shin, calf, foot, leg area from running on the snow this winter. So, hopefully those races will be a chance to get back out there. So I kept telling Jeff that my Sir Walter Mile would be my resurrection into the track world. So hopefully
we're ready to bring you back. Go ahead and get the Rust Buster done this weekend.
Right, exactly. Yeah, get on the road. But really, I'm a track person. I love the track, and I'm really excited to kind of come back and maybe start over. at Sir Walter.
Good. Well, Stephanie, thanks for joining us today. We're really excited to have you next week. Good luck in your race this weekend, and we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'll see you soon.
All right. Can I get to know, no, you better, baby. Can I get to
know, no, you better, baby. Can I get. All right. Yeah, another great athlete interview. We just love when we can invite folks to Raleigh, show them a great time. They love being here, and then they want to come back and run fast. And so we appreciate Stephanie and Pat with that interview. Just know that, listen, we want to provide that same experience for those returning and for first-timers next week. And so we just cannot wait to get the athletes in town. Already getting the host families lined up. They're excited. And I'm going to go on a limb here, but I'm going to say the city of Raleigh as a whole is anticipating these athletes getting to town. So we're excited to host you guys. So for athletes listening, cannot wait to have you. That'll wrap up this podcast. Again, we always love to hear from you. Again, that's what makes this exciting, is that we get to interact with those out there who are listening, and for fans. So you guys know how to reach us. We're at Summer of Miles on Twitter, Instagram, and summerofmiles@gmail.com would be another way to contact. So we look forward to talking with some of you here hopefully soon. And that'll be it for Pat Price. I'm Sandy Roberts. Summer of Miles 2017. Hey, let's go. Can I get-